Now, we're looking this evening at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and I'm entitling the message from this chapter, the theme of it, and the message of it. It's all about Hezekiah in his zeal and enthusiasm to honor God and to do so around the Passover sacrifice. And I'm entitling the message, Christ Our Passover, or Hezekiah observed the Passover. And certainly we know from reading the scripture and in seeing the fulfillment of what that Passover was typical of, we read in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ Our Passover is sacrificed for us. It is still true when God said, when I see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will pass over you. The Lord Jesus Christ is certainly our gospel Passover, isn't he? He is our gospel Passover. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. And in that day, back in the land of Egypt, God said, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Now that was true in that day. The firstborn was to die in every house, except that house where the blood was on the door. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But there was death in that house because the Passover lamb died. The sacrifice, the substitute died. And how much more true, and how much more is that true of Christ Our Passover and the gospel Passover? Our Lord was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the just for the unjust. The Lord Jesus Christ died, the just one for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Now remember from our study last week in 2 Chronicles 29, how the priest brought the blood sacrifices to make atonement for the sins of the people, and how they rejoiced and how they worshiped around the appointed sacrifice to the Lord. Turn back one page and look at verse 30 of 2 Chronicles 29, verse 30. Hezekiah, the king, and the priest, and the princes, commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David, one of the Psalms, and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped God. They worshiped the Lord God around the blood sacrifice, around the atonement that was made for the people, the appointed sacrifices. And we know all those sacrificial offerings of an animal substitute pictured the blessed and great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. We read the Lord Jesus Christ did not bring the blood of bulls and goats, but he brought his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Every Old Testament blood sacrifice points us to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The forerunner, John the Baptist, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of God's people in this world. Now, King Hezekiah, and I love his determination, King Hezekiah is determined to remember the Passover, to observe the Passover, to reinstitute the Passover, and make ready for Judah and Israel to do so as God commanded them to keep the Passover sacrifice every year and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days to do so. And it says there in verse 5, they had not done so for a long time. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord, the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. Now how many years this had been neglected? Hundreds of years. They had not done so for a long time. Probably since the days of Solomon, or at least since the days the kingdom was divided, and when Jeroboam introduced, remember, those two golden calves, which was 250 years ago from this time that is spoken of here in Hezekiah's day. But Hezekiah now is determined. He made a decree, as it says there in verse 5. He established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all the land. He established a decree unto the Lord. From the north to the south, from Dan to Beersheba, that all should come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover as the Lord commanded Israel to do so, as we read in Exodus 12, verse 17. Now, I admire his zeal, don't you? I admire his ambition. His father was an idolater. His grandfather, Uzziah, was a good king. But certainly his father, Ahaz, was an idolater. But I admire his ambition. I admire his zeal. I admire his sincerity to honor the Lord God. Immediately after the atonement was made, blood atonement was made, he made arrangements to keep the Passover and to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, watch this. Verse 6. After he had made the decree and had written the decree, so the post went with their letters. They even had postmen back in those days. They sent, I don't know how much the postage was, but they had the postman and they sent the post. Probably like they did in the early days of this country, the Pony Express. They sent the post with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel. That is, they went not only in the southern part of Judah, but they went to the north country toward Samaria throughout all Israel, according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. That is, turn to God, and in turning to God, turn from your idols. We'll read that in just a minute. And he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Now hear what the old timers called, they sent out a circular letter. That was done in the early days in this country. The churches would send out a circular letter to the different churches in the countryside. This too, this sending out this post and sending out these to deliver the letter, this too is a picture of our Lord sending out his disciples to preach the gospel. And that's what we do. We go with the decree and the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we read about that in Luke chapter 9 and in Mark chapter 6. But we also read in Matthew chapter 10, at first, the Lord told his disciples, his apostles, to go not into the way of Samaria unto the Samaritans. But later, after his resurrection, the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we do. Now notice what he sends forth by the command of the king that's included in this letter. Verse 6 and verse 9, he says here, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God the God of Abraham. He spells it out. The God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, or the God of Israel. Turn to the Lord. He says that several times here in verse 9. Look at verse 9. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children, you shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if you return unto the Lord. Now, what is being said here in this turning? He's saying this: repent. Repent. Turn to God from your idols, and he will show you mercy. Repent. The Lord sent his disciples out with this message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance toward God. The apostles went out preaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is repentance? We know repentance, like faith, is a gift of God, is it not? But repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, and acknowledging that God is God, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Turn loose of your idols and worship the Lord your God. Now let me show you what's involved here. Find 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, look at this verse here. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turn to God, or were turned by God to God, how you turn to God from your idols. Now, it doesn't say you turn from your idols to God. It says you turn to God, or you were turned by God, and then in doing so, you turn from your idols to serve the living and true God. Turn loose of your idols and worship God. Turn to God from your idols. Our Lord said this: look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. The Lord seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So this letter included here a message of repentance, didn't it? Repentance. Turn to God and he will bless you. The second thing is this. In verse 8, did you notice that? He said, be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord. I notice the marginal reference is, give the hand. Yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. So there's repentance, and then there's submission. And that's what true repentance leads to, is submission. Yield yourselves, or serve him. As a marginal reference says there, give the hand. That is, take him to be your God. Submit to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Surrender and bow to the lordship of the true and living God. Our will must be broken. Our will must be melted to do his will. We are taught to pray that way, aren't we? Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. In our study from 1 Peter 5, remember this verse. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt yourself, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Don't be a proud heart. Yield. Submit. Bow to the lordship of Christ. The Lord is nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. This is exactly what true saving faith does. Yielding, submitting to him universally, completely, and absolutely. Lord, thy will be done. Now this is exactly the preaching at Pentecost. Turn over there to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. when Peter declared the lordship of Christ, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He's a true and living God." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Turn to the Lord, repent, and confess the Lord. Be baptized." Believers, confess the Lord in believers' baptism. "Every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has remitted your sin." It doesn't teach here that water baptism puts away sin. That word "therefore" is because Christ has remitted our sin. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As many as were born of the Spirit of God, by one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body." That's the verse I'm trying to quote. "For the promise..." Now read verse 39 of Acts 2. "For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The promise is unto those who are the called of God. Now those who like to read verse 38 all the time, they never read verse 39. The water, what I call the water and works people. They leave off verse 39. "As many as the Lord our God shall call." As many as were ordained to eternal life. There's "as many as" Acts 13:49. "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation." Now here is a promise that's given to us in this repentance. Verse 9, back in our text. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. "For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land." Now watch this. "For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you turn to him." God will not turn away from you if you're blessed to turn to him. He will not turn away a mercy beggar, a sinner who is in need. Still true today. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest." You remember Ahaz had closed the doors to the temple. And we know here that Hezekiah opened the doors to the temple and says, "Come, come and worship the Lord. The doors are wide open." And the gospel message is the same. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the door. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And the Lord said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Now watch this. The Lord your God, he is gracious, and he is merciful. He is gracious, and he is merciful. I want you to look at a couple of scriptures with me. Find Exodus 34:6. I know repentance is a gift of God, but if we are blessed to repent, he's exalted to give repentance. If you're blessed to turn to the Lord in true repentance, he will bless you. He already has. In Exodus 34:6, "And the Lord passed by before him," that is, before Moses, "and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and in mercy, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third, to the fourth generation." God is just, but he is merciful. Now, one other scripture on this. Find Isaiah 55. This is familiar scripture to you, but I'll read it to you anyway. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord. There it is again. Turn to the Lord. Return to the Lord. And he will have mercy upon you and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Pardon. Hezekiah prayed that the Lord would pardon the people. And he did. And he did. Now watch this. Back to the text. This is interesting here. So the post went out, and that was a message. Turn to the Lord. Submit to him. God is faithful. He is gracious. He's long-suffering. The Lord is good. So what's going to happen? Verse 10. So the post passed from city to city, throughout the country, from Ephraim and Manasseh unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked. Nevertheless, divers of Asher, Manasseh, Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. Now, some believed and repented. Some were humbled and came to the Passover feast, while others simply mocked them to scorn, persecuted the postman, laughed them to scorn. Sinful pride will keep sinners from being humbled in his sight. Proverbs 16. Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall. Such is the case, the same case in our day. Some, when they hear the gospel of God's sovereign grace to guilty sinners, they simply mock the postman to scorn, don't they? They rail on the preacher, that guy's a fool. They ridicule and laugh at the messenger, when really they're laughing and scorning God who sent the message. Don't shoot the messenger. He's just delivering the king's message. They ridiculed, laughed, and mocked the messengers and continued in their rebellion against God, while others were blessed with faith and repentance to believe the gospel. And we see here why divers humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And here's the key, verse 12. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart. That's why they turned. That's why some came. That's why some mocked. Their heart wasn't turned. The hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. The hand of God was given to them, and he gave them one heart. No longer a divided heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He gave them one heart, one will, one mind to honor God, believe God. You see, the power and the hand of God was in this. The hand of God, no one can turn his hand. No one can stop his hand, right? He does according to his will, and none can stop his hand. The hand of God was to give them a new heart. One heart, one way, one faith, one Lord, one God, one gospel. The hand of God prepared them. Look right back across the page in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 36. If you have the Cambridge, I've got it just on the other side of the page. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 36. Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people. Boy, the thing was done. The thing was done suddenly. Some believed and some did not believe. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. God who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it and perfect it Now, let me show you this in the New Testament. Same thing happened. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts 28. And we can look at other scriptures in the book of Acts. When the gospel is preached, two things happen. Two things happen when the gospel is preached and Christ is lifted up. In Acts 28, the last chapter in the book of Acts, verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. This is Paul in Rome in prison, to whom expounded and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them, Acts 28, verse 23, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, morning till evening. They expounded, they testified, and they persuaded them, what? Turn to God. Turn to God from your idols. From morning till evening. Now what? Look at verse 24. Some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. Some mocked, and some believed. God gave grace to some, and others he simply left to their own foolish heart. Now, back in our text, in verse 13 down through verse 20, preparations were made to observe the Passover. Preparations were made to observe the Passover. Verse 13 and 14, they made ready to keep the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days, and they cast out the old leaven, which is a symbol of sin against God. It says in verse 13, there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. So they cast out the leaven, observed the feast of unleavened bread, and look what they did, verse 14. They rose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away, and they cast them in the brook. Now about that time also Hezekiah, remember, ground up that brazen serpent that Moses lifted up and destroyed it, and that is given there in chapter 31. Look at chapter 31, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles. Now when all this was finished and all Israel were present, went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars of all Judah and Benjamin. And we know that Hezekiah destroyed that brazen serpent that was lifted up. Preparations were made. They cast out all the idolatry that Ahaz had introduced. And then the priest, it says in verse 15, then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month and sprinkled the blood upon the brazen altar, picturing Christ our Passover. You see that down in verse 16, they stood in their place after their manner according to the law of Moses, the man of God. And the priest sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. Verse 16, picturing Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is both Lamb and priest, both sacrifice, and he's the altar, isn't he? He sacrificed his humanity on the altar of his deity, and he's a God to whom a sacrifice is offered. God still says, when I see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will pass over you. God commended his love toward us, Romans 5, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is a sprinkling of blood upon the altar. And we're going to read in a minute, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest did not enter into the tabernacle made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In verse 17 and 18 of our text, those that did not have time to prepare themselves and to clean themselves ceremonially according to the law, the strictness of the law, but they were permitted to observe the Passover. Did you see that in verse 17 and verse 18? Now here's the reason they were permitted. They had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written, because Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon everyone." We have pardon only in Christ. Nehemiah 9:17 says he is a God ready to pardon, that prepareth his heart to seek his God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, according to the law. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. He pardoned the people. Hezekiah prayed, "The good Lord pardon everyone that seeks to honor the Lord's Passover, that has prepared his heart to seek God, even though not cleansed ceremonially according to the law of Moses." The Lord heard the prayer of Hezekiah, healed, pardoned, and forgave their sin for Christ's sake, for the blood is sprinkling upon the altar. And that's Christ. Christ. We know that we're forgiven for Christ's sake. What a blessing to read this gospel promise to every sinner that is blessed to believe the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. By him all that believe are justified from all things which it could not be justified by the law of Moses. To you, through this man, is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. The Lord has pardoned, forgiven, healed us through the perpetual Passover sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice is an everlasting sacrifice. It is an eternal sacrifice that gives us eternal redemption, giving us acceptance in the Beloved to the praise of His glory. The sacrifice of Christ is a sweet-smelling savor unto our great God. This is what all this is a picture of. It's preaching to us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 21. The children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Now look at verse 22. Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offering and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep others 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness of heart. They kept the feast of unleavened bread. They offered peace offerings. Notice there was preaching going on. The Levites taught the good knowledge of the Lord. That's gospel preaching. They were praying unto the Lord. They were making peace offerings unto the Lord. Look at the last part of verse 22. Making confessions to the Lord. What were they confessing? I'm a sinner. I need a sacrifice. I'm a sinner. I need a substitute. I'm a sinner. I need an atonement. I need pardon. There was peace offerings going on. Preaching going on, praying going on, confessing going on, and then it says here, they were rejoicing in the Lord. They kept other 7 days with gladness. Verse 26, there was great joy, the last part of verse 25, and they dwelt in Judah and rejoice. They that dwell in Judah rejoice. Verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David. There wasn't a day like this day of great joy, great rejoicing. And we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Being justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not like in Jerusalem. And we, as believers, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no confidence in the flesh. We worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul in that same book of Philippians chapter 4 said, we rejoice in the Lord again, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Now, one more verse I want to give you this, and I'll let you go. Verse 27. Then the priest and the Levites arose and they blessed the people. They preached to them. They prayed for them. They confessed together. They rejoiced together. And the priest and the Levites blessed the people. And their voice was heard. And their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. The priest blessed the people, and our great high priest has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, hasn't he? And God said, amen. The prayer came into his holy dwelling in heaven. Now think about this. Hebrews 6. Our Lord Jesus Christ, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. We have a mediator, one mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost thing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place. Where do our prayers go when we pray unto the Lord? We pray unto our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ had not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us right now. In that day, their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place. How about this day? Absolutely. Our Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the throne of God, the right hand of God, and there he ever lives to intercede for us.